Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Gavi AMC press briefing. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Later, there'll be an opportunity for questions, and instructions will be given at that time. If you need assistance during the conference, please press star and then zero. This call is being recorded and will be available for replay beginning in 1 hour through March 30th at 11:59 p.m. EDT. You may access the recording by dialing 1-800-283-7928. International callers should dial 1-402-220-0866. I'll turn the call over now to our moderator, Jeffrey Rowland. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jeffrey Rowland of the Gavi Alliance, and I'll be moderating today's press briefing. Before we start, let me just cover a couple of logistical matters. First, everything you hear during our press briefing is under embargo until the call ends in approximately 1 hour. And second, the four speakers will present remarks for about 20 minutes of the briefing, and after which we'll take questions for the rest of the hour. Thanks for limiting all your questions to the announcement that we're making during this call. For those of you who do not know Gavi well, let me just give you a very short overview. We're actually celebrating our 10th anniversary this year. Gavi, the public-private partnership, launched in 2000. Our founders include Bill Gates, and partners are UNICEF, World Bank, the World Health Organization, and 16 government donors. And our mission is to provide life-saving vaccines, both new and unused, to children in the poorest countries of the world and to strengthen health systems. Over the past decade, we like to think, inspired a revolution in global health and innovative financing for development. And in 10 years, more than 250 million children have been vaccinated, and 4.4 million premature deaths have been averted thanks to Gavi-funded programs. Now let me present the speakers for the call. They are Julian Loblevitz, the CEO of the Gavi Alliance, Mr. Ian Reed, Senior Vice President and Group President of Pfizer Biopharmaceutical Businesses, Mr. Jean Stéphane, Chairman and President of GlaxoSmithKline Biologicals, and Dr. Fred Weir, National Chairman of the Kenyan Pediatric Association. Now our first speaker, Julian Loblevitz, will start off. Go ahead, Julian.
Thanks, Jeffrey, and thank you for all of you for being on the call. I'm very excited to be here together with my colleagues from GSK and Pfizer and Dr. Weir from Nairobi to make this major announcement that will help prevent the deaths of millions of children from the world's biggest killer, pneumonia. Just to remind you, pneumonia kills more than 2 million children under 5 years of age each year. So that's responsible for about a quarter, one in four of all child deaths. And that means more deaths than AIDS, malaria, and measles combined. So pneumococcal disease is one of the biggest causes of pneumonia, and more than 90% of those deaths occur in developing countries. So today, I'm very proud to announce that Gavi is signing a landmark agreement with GSK and Pfizer to provide long-term supplies of revolutionary new vaccines against this major killer of children. Let me just explain a little bit about the mechanism, the AMC. The agreements that are being signed today are the culmination of an innovative financing mechanism called the Advanced Market Commitment, the AMC. It's taken nearly 4 years of hard work, but let me just, a couple of minutes just to explain the AMC to everybody. The aim is to accelerate the availability of effective and affordable vaccines for the world's poorest countries. Its objective is to ensure that we can provide new vaccines to children in developing countries in the proper form, the correct presentation and packaging, in the right volume, and at an affordable price. In other words, the right vaccine in the right quantities at the right time and at the right price for the long-term affordability to countries. The way that it works is that donors commit money to incentivize industry to invest the considerable sums that are required to finalize development of those vaccines and then build adequate manufacturing capacity to scale up to serve developing countries. 4 years ago, the Gavi Alliance and its sponsors launched the first AMC, a pilot for tackling pneumococcal disease. A group of donors that led by the government of Italy, with the United Kingdom, Canada, Russia, Norway, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation together committing a total sum of $1.5 billion US dollars to launch the program. So Gavi provides the financial, programmatic and administrative support. The World Bank provides the fiduciary support. The World Health Organization establishes the minimum technical criteria for a suitable vaccine. And UNICEF is responsible for the vaccine procurement and distribution. The AMC for pneumococcal disease will produce three overarching benefits. First, more predictable and sustainable prices over the long term and supply of those vaccines. Secondly, it will foster competition, encouraging innovation, and engage emerging as well as multinational manufacturers. Thirdly, and most important, and this is the whole point of the exercise, it is to expect that it will prevent nearly 1 million deaths by 2015 and more than 7 million childhood deaths by 2030. Those are really significant contributions to reducing child mortality and achieving the Millennium Development Goals. Today's announcement means that children in the developing world will receive the new pneumococcal vaccine tailored to their needs faster than ever before, just 1 year after its introduction in Europe and the same year as it's introduced in the US. That's a really unprecedented achievement. After more than 4 years of incredible work, the AMC has effectively launched in real terms, and this is why we're here together to celebrate this amazing achievement. Let me explain some of the details of the deal now. Pfizer and GSK will sign 10-year legally binding agreements to begin supplying this vaccine, a total of 7 million doses. Over the course of the next couple of years, they will scale up their production capacity to increase their annual supplies to 30 million doses each. These vaccines will be made available at a price of US$3.50 per dose, approximately 90% less than the cost in most industrialized countries. Supply will start early this year, and at a fraction of the price charged in industrialized countries, and I'll speak more about that in a minute. The next steps are that each vaccine must be pre-qualified by the World Health Organization and be approved by the AMC's Independent Assessment Committee. We expect these approvals soon. In fact, that is all in hand. The AMC is a cornerstone of Gavi's mission towards 2015. The AMC is part of an ambitious plan that we have at Gavi. That is to tackle the world's two biggest killers of children in absolute terms, pneumonia and diarrheal disease. Gavi is fully funded. We will be immunizing more than 110 million additional children in 47 countries with pneumococcal vaccine and 58 million children in 41 countries with a vaccine against rotavirus, which is the major cause of diarrhea. Just by rolling out the pneumococcal vaccine in those 47 countries, as I've said, we're going to be averting more than 900,000 deaths by 2015 and 7 million deaths by 2030. Mentioned earlier, we are now celebrating Gavi's 10th anniversary this year. We spent our first decade working on increasing immunization rates of basic and underutilized vaccines. Basically now, 80% of the world's children receive three doses of vaccine before the age of 6 months. That is a fabulous system for rolling out vaccines, and we've already successfully introduced hepatitis B and Haemophilus influenza B. Got a really strong and stable platform. So the opportunity remains extraordinary. The science is there, the country demand is there, and today's announcements and supply will be there too, and at an affordable price. When one thinks that these pneumococcal vaccines cost anything between $54 to over $100 in rich markets, and we've just agreed today with an industry price of $3.50, that's quite remarkable. The AMC allows us to introduce long-term supply of life-saving vaccines at an affordable price. It's never been done before. But I'll just finish by noting that our work is not over. In order for us to roll out our existing vaccines and the new vaccines, we need to provide an additional $2.7 billion to ensure that rotavirus and pneumococcal vaccine is rolled out. We're confident of the current financing will be sustained for our existing program, but that's the challenge that we face into the future. I'll be meeting with donors later this week in The Hague, so they will join us with us to increase their support. And today's news that the AMC is now live and ready to go really helps us make that ambition a reality. Let me thank you by first of all thanking in particular GSK and Pfizer and WHO, the World Bank and UNICEF for making this remarkable announcement possible. Thanks.
Thank you, Julian. And now our next speaker is Mr. Ian Reed, Senior Vice President and Group President of Pfizer Biopharmaceutical Businesses. Please go ahead, Ian.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeffrey, and to all of you on the call. My colleagues at Pfizer and I are gratified to join with Gavi, GSK, and the World Health Organization, as well as other partners, to announce the signing of our Advanced Market Commitment Provisional Supply Agreements to help ensure that pneumococcal conjugate vaccines are accessible to the world's poorest children. This event marks a major milestone in bringing Prevnar 13, Pfizer's 13-valent pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, to the world's poorest countries, where pneumococcal disease exacts its greatest toll. As we all know, historically, there have been challenges in bringing life-saving vaccines to these children who have the greatest need. Let me outline a few of these challenges. First, healthcare systems and infrastructure. Creating access is not just about having medicines. It's also about getting the medicines to the people who need them. In many of the world's poorest countries, healthcare systems are virtually non-existent. Vaccines, for example, require constant refrigeration from our manufacturing facilities to the trucks that transport the vials to the central storage facilities to the clinics. In many remote countries, where there can be extremes of temperature, maintaining cold chain distribution is a daunting task. Secondly, sustainability. The lack of sustainable financial models in the world's poorest countries have made it difficult, if not impossible, to accurately project supply needs. We've listened to our global health partners, and their message to us has been loud and clear. It's not about one-off interventions. It's about creating sustainable financial models that ensures we're making enough vaccines to get to the children who need them. And third is pricing. A one-size-fits-all approach for pricing can't work, especially in the world's poorest countries. Pfizer endorses the globally recognized concept of tiered pricing for vaccines, under which prices vary according to the economic status of the country purchasing the vaccines. This tiered pricing concept has been endorsed by member states of the World Health Organization and is an essential component of access to medicines in Gavi-eligible countries. Even with the challenges I've spoken of, at Pfizer, we believe that every child in every nation deserves access to protection against the potentially devastating consequences of pneumococcal disease. The good news is that together we have made significant inroads. We have been a partner with Gavi since its inception 10 years ago, helping to lay important groundwork to ensure the successful uptake and integration of vaccines. This has included in securing epi data on pneumococcal disease burden, raising awareness and public understanding of the disease, and helping to determine accurate demand projections. And last year, we partnered with Gavi to contribute Prevnar as the first pneumococcal conjugate vaccine to be launched in a Gavi-eligible country, Rwanda and Gambia. Although this was a good start, it clearly wasn't enough. Today's announcement represents a giant step. It is clear that no one entity can address alone the international issues of access. It takes public-private partnership like the AMC to bring real solutions. And while there is still much work to be done, the AMC certainly addresses in a novel and sustainable way many of the challenges that I just outlined for you today. We are proud to be part of this public-private partnership, and thank you for the opportunity to share our great news with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Our next speaker is Jean Stephen, Chairman and President of GSK Biologicals. Please go ahead, Jean.
Thank you. I am very pleased to be speaking with you today. I want to begin by saying how honored we are at GSK to be one of the first suppliers to this historic mechanism. This is a truly historic moment in global public health. The scope and the scale of the IMC effort are without precedent, and its impact will be enormous. As Julian said, millions more children will reach their fifth birthdays thanks to the IMC partners and donors that turn this concept into reality. We view our participation in this effort as a continuation of our successful and long-standing partnership with Gavi, and we look forward to engaging in future IMC supply rounds over the coming years. We expect the first dose of Synflorix will reach Africa later this year, thanks to the current supply round, which is nothing short of remarkable. That's just about 1 year after the vaccine was introduced in Europe in the spring of 2009. None of this could have happened without the strong support of the IMC partner, especially Gavi, on whose board I am proud to serve to represent the industry, and the donors, both the countries and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who had the courage to back a novel mechanism. This is a very important moment for us and for me personally. You see, the IMC has a special significance at GSK. In many ways, we have been preparing for this since we started working on vaccine and making vaccine for polio more than half a century ago, and certainly since I began my tenure as the president of GSK Biologicals in 1991. For us, immunization is by definition a global enterprise. We have long recognized that vaccines are the cornerstone of children's health all around the world, and we strive to meet the needs of every market, no matter how rich or poor they are. So for the last 25 years, we have made it our business to get vaccine to the world's poorest children through the long-term high-volume contract with affordable price due to tier pricing. And one of the ways we made it work as a business is through partnership, similar to the concept and philosophy of the IMC. The IMC has increased the pace, scope, and breadth of our commitment. Let's be clear. The IMC is working exactly as it was supposed to. Specifically, it gave GSK the confidence to move forward to build a second Synflorix manufacturing facility in Singapore that will eventually supply hundreds of millions of doses. Today, 80% of our vaccine go to developing countries, and 50% are purchased through our long-standing partner, Gavi. The other cornerstone of our global strategy is to develop vaccines that meet global needs. In addition to Synflorix, which contain three strains that are especially prevalent in developing countries, our company has the world's most advanced malaria vaccine in phase 3 efficacy trial in 7 African countries. Because of innovation like RTSS and investment like the IMC, people are talking about this as a decade of the vaccine. Later this year, we expect that the first dose of Synflorix will start reaching Africa. But what happens after that? Well, the IMC is a dynamic, long-term process. GSK will thus provide up to 300 million doses over the next 10 years, but the need is even greater. This is why we are very happy that others have joined and will join the IMC effort. This is as it should be. Childhood pneumonia is bigger than any one of us. Both industrialized and developing countries' manufacturers should be part of the solution. At GSK, we recognize that building vaccine expertise and capacity locally in emerging markets is the way forward. Last year, we signed a deal with our long-standing partner, Brazil Fiocruz, one of the most prominent health institutions in all Latin America, to transfer the technology behind Synflorix over the next 10 years. Fiocruz should be ready to produce pneumococcal vaccine on their own by the time the first round of the IMC ends in around 2021. And when the first round ends, what next? That's not something we can predict now, but I can say that given our history, GSK is committed to supplying the IMC and working with global partners on innovation like this one for the years to come. Sustainable financing of new vaccine is critical to ensure access of this new vaccine for the poorest. Thank you for your attention and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Jean. Our last speaker is Dr. Fred Weir. He's the national chairman of the Kenyan Pediatrics Association. Fred's online via cell phone, I believe, from Nairobi, and I understand the line is difficult. So I'll ask Fred for you to speak slowly, if you wouldn't mind, and I'll also offer to the reporters, anyone interested in speaking to Fred directly one-on-one, I'd be more than happy to set up those interviews immediately after this call. We think it's really important that we hear, that all of you hear, about the importance of the rollout of these vaccines to countries like Kenya and to the poor, and to children in the developing world, where the biggest impact is and where we plan to make the biggest impact, starting through the AMC. So let's now move to Fred. Please go ahead, Fred.
Hello there.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yes, my name is Fred Were, the chairman of the Kenya Pediatric Association. Might just share with you really what we see down in Africa. In Kenya, for instance, the burden of pneumococcal disease is estimated slightly over 30 million children suffering every year. And of those, about 20,000 die. And 20,000 of those actually represent nearly 20% of all under 5 mortality. So really, really, for us, the time is now. We think we have a vaccine, and we have none that's available. We have not tested any. We often spend a lot of energy on the burden of disease and burden of death. And when we are talking about pneumococcus, we talk about marginal pneumonia. And that's just how we say. We are also aware of the other illnesses that come with pneumococcus. One of them is meningitis. And meningitis, that affects fewer children than pneumonia, for instance, but you know that it's got a bigger problem in after illness morbidity. For instance, in a recent study that we did in Africa, together with colleagues in the US, we find that about 25% of children who survive meningitis while in hospital will be having some neurological disability before they go. Those who succeed in being discharged, you have about 4 out of 10 of them having some defects later. And this includes what we call seizures, they include mental retardation, they include deafness. And if you're sitting in a place like Kenya, and I would imagine many other African countries, where the support structures for people with disabilities are not as elaborate, this constitutes a burden that we should remain aware of. And the pneumococcal disease, the pneumococcal meningitis is probably the biggest contributor to this outcome. Then we ask ourselves, what about our hospital tests? We may not have the accurate health economic data around. Some are available, but for instance, in Kenya, we know that apart from the newborn period, pneumonia and other acute respiratory infections constitute probably 40% of all the admissions that we get. We are saying that the number one cause of illnesses that leads to hospitalization in this country is going to be coming from acute respiratory infections, in whom most are going to be related to pneumococcus. So the national impact of that is huge. We don't have very accurate calculations about how much money we spend on it, but we know for certain, if you go into the hospital ward, you look around yourself, and every second child you see is probably more going to be there because of the some acute infection. Many of which are in the hospital. What about that hospital, so to speak? Generally estimated by the military factors and some of our local observations, but probably about 40% of the children ever reach the health facility when they are sick. What is that informing us? That the majority of the babies don't even come to hospital. So they'll die even if we have very, very good hospital set aside. I mean, so much of the problem is because of access to these facilities and that. We also know from the same factors of the World Health Organization that within hospital, we haven't perfectly implemented the IMCI, the Integrated Management of Health and Illnesses principles, as well, so that the number of health workers still miss out important diagnosis, especially with respiratory tract. So we know that a lot of our babies are not going to be benefiting from the hospital, even when we make them available, and therefore we need to take a better step. Hospital care tends to be called secondary prevention of illness and health. Now we are seeing that that's the simple one is difficult to implement, and we are not likely to succeed that much in the view that is in the West. So our best is saying to step earlier to prevent the infection. There are many other measures that we are undertaking, improving the study and all those sort of things, and vaccination remains the easiest to achieve in terms of universal risk for the children in the country. That's when we have been dreaming about vaccines for a while. That means about 5 years since we had them at a public health level, the pneumococcal vaccine being in the country. A few researches have been done here and there, but we would have said that if someone gave it to us 5 years ago, we would have been happier. It's exciting to note that efforts are all over the world now. The attack, the disease Yeah, it's a common issue in Kenya. So in my position as Kenya, the chairman of the association, the faculty official, the teacher of the university, the administrative title of me can only be delighted that I'm speaking after that luminous group of members of the world community who are interested in what I'm interested in most, preventing death at the earliest level, that by vaccination. I think I'm really proud that I can go on for the day, but nothing could be better in my medicine. In my immediate diseases, in terms of controlling a disease that is so prominent in its protection of illness and death. Let me thank you again, and we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Fred. Thank you very much for that intervention. On our side here at Gavi, the lines were difficult to hear, so I want to provide the reporters now with direct contact numbers for Fred. If you'd like to follow with on an interview with him. His office number is for Kenya, country code 254, then 202-72530. His cell phone number is country code 254-722-718-770. And then his email address is F for Fred, Weir, W-E-R-E, all one word, at HCC:OR:KE. Thanks again, Fred.
I'm fine. Yep, thank you.
Now we have about 30 minutes left remaining for questions. The operator will announce your name and media outlet when you register to ask a question. Would you like, Misty, would you please explain explain the queue up for questions? Go ahead.
Absolutely. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys on your touch tone phone. You may remove yourself from the question queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys now, and we'll pause momentarily to allow questions to queue. I'm showing at this time we have no questions in queue, but once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys now.
While we're waiting for questions for the reporters, if I can ask the participants to please mute their phones until a question directed to them is asked. Thank you.
And we'll take our first question from Lisa Schlein with the BOA. Please go ahead.
You say that you're going to begin the distributions, you hope, sometime probably at the end of this year. Now, I was wondering, how many countries do you intend to supply these vaccines to? Do you have a list of countries yet? And perhaps you could explain the eligibility for receiving the vaccines. And then one additional question is, do you expect other pharmaceutical companies to join Pfizer and GlaxoSmithKline? Thank you.
Sure, yeah. We've already have 13 countries that have applied ready for approval for supply of the vaccine. And the way that Gavi works is that the poorest countries in the world that we support make applications to Gavi for a program of support, including the vaccines, which then goes for independent review and scrutiny and is then approved for our board for release. So we have a strong demand as we move ahead. The second question that you asked is, are there other companies that will be able to come in? And the way that the AMC is structured is that the deals are to allow, as we move forward, more companies to come in to access and support the AMC. And I can advise you that two companies from the emerging markets have already registered, which is the first step. The first is Panacea, and the second is the Serum Institute of India, which is great news.
Very good. Can we go to the next question, please?
Excuse me. May I just follow up on that, if you still hear
me? Sure, Lisa. Go ahead.
You say you have a list of countries. Could you be a little more definite and give some names and how many? Because I didn't, maybe I missed it, but I didn't really get the number of countries that will be first on the list and which countries you might be supplying them to.
Yeah, Lisa, sorry if you didn't hear me. I actually said we have 13 countries that are approved. What we can do is send you that list.
I'll send you that right after, Lisa.
Okay. Thank you.
We take the next question, please.
Absolutely. Our next question comes from Kate Kelland with Reuters. Please go ahead.
Go ahead, Kate.
Hello, good afternoon. I'd like to ask about the future possibilities for new advanced market commitment deals. Specifically, I wanted to ask the representatives from Pfizer and GSK whether they can see whether they'd be interested in doing in committing to this kind of structure for other vaccines in the future, possibly against such things as malaria or TB.
This is Ian Reid at Pfizer. You know, clearly we're very focused on access. This is a pilot program. We're anxious to see it succeed, and as other vaccines become available, if the same mechanisms are in place and the same tiered pricing, then we're more than willing and anxious to participate in providing our products to the neediest countries in the world.
Okay.
Okay, Jean-Stéphane, GlaxoSmithKline. I think in terms of IMC for the disease, yes, we like the model and the execution here, but the global community will likely take those decisions on case-by-case basis. From our perspective, we encourage the global community to keep brainstorming, inventing, and rolling out innovative mechanisms like the IMC that can save more lives faster, and make sure that the new vaccine are used rapidly in developing countries. Our chief executive officer, Andrew Witty, has said on several occasions, we are always looking for how we can partner new solutions to pressing health challenge, including major health threats such as malaria, TB, or pneumonia. Mm-hmm. That's why we signal our interest in participating in the IMC last year, and we embrace any potential new ways of getting the job done. So if another MC is launched down the line, we will certainly consider it for new vaccine.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll take our next question from Don McConnell with Lancet. Please go ahead.
Hello. I noticed that the two vaccines have different valencies. So one's a 13-valent vaccine and one's a 10-valent vaccine. How will you decide in which settings each vaccine should be used?
Thanks, Dan. Go ahead, Julian.
I mean, basically, it's for the country to decide which vaccine that they would choose.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Can we go to the next question, please?
Absolutely. Our next question comes from Andy Pollack with New York Times. Please go ahead.
Yes, I had a couple. I just wanted to clarify, I guess, how much of this program is already paid for, I mean, that you have the money for, and how much more do you need to raise to fully fund this pneumococcal effort? I believe earlier on the press conference, I heard something about needing to raise $2.7 billion, was it, or?
Yeah, just to clarify, what?
And I've seen some wire stories saying $4.3 billion from just a week ago. So I was hoping that could be cleared up.
Yeah, let me just speak specifically to the pneumococcal vaccine and the AMC. $1.5 billion has been secured by the AMC as the incentive to scale up production and the investments in the necessary work to bring the vaccine to the point where it's ready for distribution. Gavi now has to raise an equivalent sum, about $1.5 billion, to then buy the vaccine to take it forward. And that is the nature of our fundraising challenge as we move forward in the area of the pneumococcal vaccine.
Okay. And could I ask a follow-up to the gentleman from GlaxoSmithKline?
Randy, go ahead.
Yes, just again, I wanted to make sure I heard correctly. Did you say that 80% of your vaccines already go to developing countries?
Yes, in volume, 80% of our those that we produce today go to developing countries.
So, again, just if 80% are already going to developing countries, why is this particular program so groundbreaking?
I think what we have seen in the past that a new vaccine is introduced in developing country 20 years later than in developed country. For the first time here, I would say strep top pneumonia introduction will be accelerated. And what we hope is that when you develop new vaccine, that you will again accelerate the availability. And for example, we have the experience of rotavirus vaccine that we launched in Latin America in the same time as in Europe. And what we hope is with Gavi, in the coming years, we'll be able to launch this important vaccine who can save lives in Africa and in the poorest country of the world.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just add a little bit to that you might find helpful, which is that, of course, Jean-Stéphane is correct when he's talking about his company and that 80% is already provided to the poorest or developing countries. Of course, that is largely represented by the very low-cost traditional vaccines that have been around for some time for which there's a lot of competition. What we're talking about here is the next generation of more complicated and expensive to manufacture vaccines, where the volumes are lower, but obviously the prices are higher.
Very good. Do we have any more questions?
I'm showing at this time we have no further questions in queue, but once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys now. We'll take our next question from Michelle Cortez with Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, sorry if you've already gone over this, but I was a little bit confused about your answer there on the funding. So you've already gotten $1.5 billion to start the program, and now to actually carry it forward for the next decade, you need an additional $1.5 billion, is that right?
Go ahead.
That's correct. Over the next 5 years, we will need to raise through to 2015 $1.5 billion to unlock the funding that is now provided by donors as the incentive, the $1.5 billion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say over the – I've got a little bit of a bad connection. Is that over the next 5 years or the next 10 years that you need the additional $1.5?
That's over the next 5 years.
Okay, so it's another $1.5. And then a technical question. I have on my information that this is all embargoed for 2 o'clock, but you said at the beginning of the call that it's embargoed for when the call is over. So is that when we hang up here the embargo lifts, or do we wait until 2?
Melissa, as soon as we hang up the phone call, it's 2 o'clock London time, the embargo will lift. So if the phone call ends very quickly before that, then we'll wait until 2 and lift the embargo. Is that clear?
Okay. That is clear. And then my last question for Jean-Stéphane is, I know that Synflorix was designed really primarily for these emerging markets. Do you have sales in the developed world already, or is it all pretty much focused on the emerging markets?
No, Synflorix is designed for the world, and Synflorix has been launched in Europe in 2009 and distributed already there. But GSK intend to continue to work on the next generation. So it means strep top pneumonia vaccine is the first generation, but I'm pretty sure in the next 10 years, there will be again other vaccine where we'll bring more innovation. But certainly the 10-valent cover the majority of the disease and the important strain in developing country.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from Catherine Boyle with The Times. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering, I think this is more one for the the people from Pfizer and from Glaxo. I mean, obviously, you know, it's great that the drugs are available at the sort of 10% of the purchase price in Western countries. Does this mean, I mean, how, in terms of your own sales, how does this sort of, I mean, does this just cover the cost of producing the vaccines? Are you making a small profit on it? What's the sort of the business case for it?
Well, this is Ian Reid at Pfizer. I look at this really from a point of view of providing access to some of the poorest countries in the world, and what's held that back has been the inability to, number one, ensure there's cold storage, and number two, to ensure that there is a sustainable model where there is a definitive supply. So in reality, our ability to contribute to this access initiative is driven by those factors, and the fact we can scale up manufacturing to meet those demands. It's a distinct model to ensure access to the poorest nations.
Okay. Jean-Stéphane, GlaxoSmithKline. I think we reserve our lowest price for any vaccine to Gavi, and in the case of pneumococcal vaccine, here it represents more or less 10% of our cost or selling price in Western market. So for me, it's not a question of profit or no profit. It's a question of access. And we believe in our tier pricing. So it means that the richest country pay the highest price. IMC has the lowest price, and the middle-income country have to pay a reasonable price between. And using that model since 20 years, we have been able to, let's say, provide 80% of our production to developing country, but also to invest in research and development, also to bring new innovations, for example, doing research for major public health threats like HIV, TB, and malaria. And as you know, for malaria, we hope that we are now in the phase 3 trial, and we hope to bring this vaccine to the market in the coming years. And this type of vaccine, which has no market in developed countries, will need mechanisms like IMC-like model, I would say, to be able to introduce this vaccine in Africa.
Do we go to the next question, please?
Absolutely. We're going to take a follow-up from Kate Kelland with Reuters. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sorry, it's another technical question on the embargo. I'm not sure whether the embargo is for when we end this call or at 1400 GMT.
Yeah, let me clarify and abbreviate what I said earlier to Melissa. So as soon as this phone call ends, whether it's right before the top of the hour or right after the top of the hour, the embargo will be lifted. So as soon as we hang up from this phone call, the embargo will be lifted. Is that clear now?
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one keys now. And I'm currently showing at this time we have no further questions in queue.
There are no other questions. Then thanks to everyone for attending the conference. I appreciate your patience with the technology. I repeat again, the embargo will now be lifted when we hang up. Let me give you my phone number, Jeffrey Rowland at the Gavi Alliance. If you have any other follow-up questions, I'll be glad to answer those or field them for you. My direct line in Geneva is country code 412-909-7165. And last but not least, an audio recording of this briefing will be available for playback through March 30th at 11:59 p.m. EDT. You can access the recording by dialing 1-800-283-7928. International callers should call 1-402-222 0866. Thanks very much, and have a nice day.